Welcome to the Fat Talks podcast. Here we will share lessons to help you on your business and fitness journey. I'll be sharing practical solutions from building my business and having mind-opening conversations with amazing personalities too. My name is Tomi Rotimi. I'm the founder and creative director of Exclamations by Tomi Rotimi, a proudly Nigerian premium ready-to-wear brand I founded almost 2 decades ago. I'm also the author of the best-selling book, Fat Transfer from Waistline to Bottom Line, a book on life lessons for fitness and business. Welcome to Fat Talks. Hello, welcome to my podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for always tuning in. Welcome to another episode of Fat Talks by Tomi. And today we are still on the second edition of Help My Business is Struggling. I mentioned at the last episode, which was the first since I returned recording, that the next few episodes will really be around sharing tips on how we can manage the economic crunch. And the point of this is for us to have a different mindset, to have a survival mindset, to try different strategies and different things that we can do to help us cope with these hard times. So I'm hoping that some of these practical tips will help. Nothing is foolproof, but I will suggest you attempt anything you feel is a good fit for your business. And these are not strategies that I'm just picking up from a Google search. These are strategies that I am applying to my business, strategies that have worked in the past for me as well. And so I know that these are things that work if we apply them right and if we are patient with the results, or patient for the results. Okay, so I'm going to start with the first one. So if you are a product-based business, that is, you create products or you sell physical products to your customers to earn money, then this is particularly for you. Some of these strategies, I think, are particularly for creative entrepreneurs like myself. That is, people who actually make the things that they sell. But I'm sure, by and large, they can apply to virtually every business in one way or the other. So my first suggestion, my first tip is creating limited edition pieces. Create limited edition pieces. What this does is it creates a perception of scarcity. And what scarcity does in the mind of a customer is it triggers an urgency to purchase. You know, so if people feel like this product is not going to be available for very long, this product is not going to be available in a large numbers, then that idea of it being exclusive and that idea of it being scarce creates an urgency to purchase. Scarcity and exclusivity also allows you to price higher, because limited edition pieces are generally considered to be more valuable. This is something that I have done several times in the past, and it always works. It always works. Depending on your customer base, people generally like the idea of having an exclusive piece, something that is not common, something that is not widely available. And it gives them this air of superiority. Like, I have this one thing that many people don't have. People are generally willing to pay a little bit more for an exclusive product. And a lot of brands do this. Luxury brands are notorious for this. You know, they create this air of exclusivity by just making their products not as accessible.
So, you know, some luxury brands will actually say, you know, you can't even buy this product unless you have been our customer for X number of years. You can't buy this product unless you are signed off to some type of exclusive club. You can't buy this product unless you have hit a particular threshold in your purchasing with us. Then you kind of have permission, you know, to buy this other thing. It's not so much that that product cannot be made in large numbers, but when you put all these roadblocks, you know, before people can access a product, it creates more value in the mind of the customer. So you may not be an LV, but you can create your own version of this by creating scarcity, by making just a few pieces, and definitely by conveying that message to your customers so that they know that this is not something that, you know, is going to be available en masse. And that might make them even feel like, you know, we need to buy it now. A caveat though, integrity must go along with this. So you must actually make this exclusive. You know, it's not fair for a customer to buy this in a hurry because they feel it's scarce, or pay premium for it because they feel it's exclusive, and then in a month or two they see that it's all over the place, you know. So that does not inspire confidence, and what that does is it rubbishes the strategy. So next time you come up and you say you have an exclusive product, they're not going to believe you. Even if that product was top notch and all that, they won't believe you, and they'll take their time because they feel, you know, you weren't truthful, right? So that's the only caveat I'll give there. If you're going to do a limited edition piece, you're going to create scarcity, you have to be true to that strategy, all right? All right, number two. Something else I have tried in the past that has worked, right, is bundling. Bundling, that is, this one is, if you have a best-selling product, a bread and butter product, this is a product that, you know, there's no scarcity here. You constantly make it available because there is high demand for it and people buy it, and consistently you sell out of it. What you can do is to create other products around it, right? Consider creating another piece that you can cross-sell with it. So if you have a pair of best-selling pants, you know, I'm a fashion entrepreneur, so I'm going to use fashion. If you have a pair of best-selling pants, or you have a killer blazer that always sells out, everybody loves, you know, you've priced this a bit at the midpoint so that it's also accessible. What you can do now is pair it with a nice pair of trousers. That's if you're selling this killer blazer. Or if you have pants, you can pair it with a really nice shirt, bundle it together and sell it at a slight discount. So what happens is this other product is going to piggyback on the success of your bread and butter product. And 8 times out of 10, I would say, that success will rub off on this other product as well. You know, and this is something I have done several times, okay? So if you create a promo around this, it's easier to convert prospects to buying customers. People who have already experienced your bread and butter products, you know, they've experienced your bestseller, they've experienced the quality of this bestseller. And then you now have this other product that they can wear with it, they can pair with it. You will definitely enjoy some level of success when you do this. And again, it's another one that will help you possibly trigger sales from people who may just have generally, you know, not have been ready to buy. But then when they see that I already have this bread and butter product, I already have this pair of trousers in my wardrobe, you know what? It makes sense to get a pair of trousers to go with the blazer, or to get a blazer to go with the trousers, or to get a shirt to go with the pants, or a camisole to go with the skirts. You get the drift. You know, so that's something I have done in the past. You know, I have this pair of trousers. I call them the go-to pants. I think the go-to pants are arguably my most best-selling piece in the history of my brand. Like, it's such a bread and butter product for us. We restock it in the hundreds. We've sold it clearly even in the thousands, I dare say. Most people buy multiples. It's that kind of product. And I have created shirts around my go-to pants. I have created jackets around my go-to pants. I know people already have the go-to pants, so when I make a style suggestion, it's easy for them to identify with it. And this has been huge for me, and it's something I intend to do even a lot more of in this season, okay? So bundling, try that out and let me know how that has worked for you. My third suggestion, and this one is a principle I have hinged my entire business on. I'm simply saying with this one, don't reinvent the wheel, okay? I need you to milk your best-selling pieces as much as you can. I'm a broken record on this particular point. I have reiterated it so many times, and that's because I passionately believe in this point. I always say that your best-selling product, any product really that is given to you, but particularly your bestsellers, are a divine gift. I feel that a gift God has given to you to say, you know what? I gave DBF her wrap dress. I'm giving you the go-to pants. You know what I mean? And it's up to you now to do what you will with it. So if you choose to just make 20 pieces and to call it quits and to say to the market, oh, it was an exclusive piece, we're not selling it anymore, that is unfortunate. You know, that is unfortunate because those gifts are given to you to create wealth, and to create wealth for years, not just for a season, right? So milk your best-selling pieces as far as you can. And this is particularly more important at this time. And that is because if you have a best-selling piece, then you have the expertise, you have the trained team, you have the recognized or the desirability from your customers. You know, the piece is recognizable by your customers. You know, you should milk this. These things are assets that are built over time. So this is not something you should waste, right? If there's a design that sells, why not make another version of it? Introduce it in new colors, in new textures, in varied lengths. Even build a collection around it, right? I know, and I have, you know, I've had this conversation with many creative entrepreneurs, and they make the mistake of creating too many designs. They are always in design mode. And by doing this, they leave a lot of money on the table because this other design still has a lot of life. It is good for you to be creative. You know, that's what we do as creative entrepreneurs. It's good for our ego, and it will even generally keep your customers entertained, to be honest. Just keep seeing new things on your page. But it also means that your older best-selling designs are killed off prematurely. And oftentimes, they are killed off before they peak. You know, every product has a life cycle, right? And some life cycle take years, right? So before they peak, you've cut it off, you know? And that is, again, like I said, unfortunate. Products ideally need time to go through a life cycle that gives them time to give the brand ownership of the design. And you know, this one is a pet peeve, because if you don't stretch the life of your bestsellers, if you're not patient with your design such that it peaks, and you kind of, you know, kill it off prematurely, another brand, another designer, another creative will take it from where you stopped. You can call the person a copycat, they don't have integrity. That's not even the conversation I'm having with you right now. But that person will take it and own it. And with the passage of time, people will forget that you were the one that initially, you know, designed this piece and introduced it to the market, right? And you know, the thing is, the longer a product is associated with you and you are known as the originator, people will actually associate you with that product and consider your version to be more valuable and pay a premium for yours. You know what? I have too many examples in my business. Too many. There's a design I have. It's a harem jumpsuit. It's a simple harem jumpsuit. We call it the Labu jumpsuit. We introduced this design, you know, some years ago. And, you know, we branded it just like we always do. We pushed it. This design is easily going on 6 years. We still have it in stock right now and we're still selling it. You know, so many people have done versions of this. So many, but we are able to sell ours as a premium because as far as people are concerned, we are the originators, right? And we stock the originals, right? So that is the benefit of allowing your product to breathe, right? So that's it. So please don't reinvent the wheel. Own your bestsellers, particularly at this time. Push them, create value with them. Number four, another thing I want you to do, this is a long-term play, but you know, I'm also talking about things you can do to fortify your brand and your business and to ensure that at the next round of an economic crunch or you know, a season when your business might be going through a low season, you know, these are things you would have done that would help your business cope with those seasons, right? One thing I want you to do is a loyalty scheme. Hear me out. Now, what is a loyalty scheme? I know you know, but let me just say for those at the back, a loyalty scheme is an offer sponsored by a business to reward repeat business. And by so doing, encourages repeat business. This is done by offering loyal customers discounts and other incentives when they reach a specified threshold or make a referral. You know, the goal of a loyalty program is simple. There's just one goal. The goal is to retain customers. The goal is to encourage referrals. You know, your best and cheapest form of advertising or promotion is referrals. I talk about the referral engine and how we can feed it and fuel it. This is one way you can feed and fuel your referral engine. And that is a system or process that encourages people to tell other people about your business. That's what a referral engine is. And you want to keep feeding this, okay? So we already know that the cost of onboarding new customers is high, right? But repeat customers cost you virtually nothing. So it's more cost effective and cost efficient to retain old customers. Again, like with over creating, over designing, there's always the temptation to invest our energies in courting new customers. While I'm all about this, because sometimes the only way you can stretch the life cycle of your product is by, you know, courting new customers or getting new customers to experience it, you know, while your old customers have gotten their fill. But while you do this, you should simultaneously create strategies to retain customers, and a loyalty scheme, more than almost anything else, is a great place to start. Right. So create a loyalty scheme. I'm not going to give you details on how to create a loyalty scheme. Go and research this, right? Go and research this within your limitations. For some people, you can invest in a software that will help you track your customers' business and, you know, alert you when, you know, they have reached the threshold for them to be rewarded. For other people, you might need to do something a little bit more manual because of cost. Whatever it is, find a way to reward loyal customers. For some people, your loyalty scheme is simply to have an event strictly for your loyal customers where everything is discounted. You know, and this is just to say to them, you guys have been so loyal. We're giving you first dibs on discounts on these products, right? So whatever you want to do, find a way to reward your loyal customers through a loyalty program that is consistent. So it's not just a one-off. Now, this is something that I am currently even working on. I'm always trying to do stuff to encourage my repeat customers to buy more. But I have to say, this is not an area that I would say I have perfected, but I'm working on that now. And maybe as I develop my own program, I will update you on how that is going, right? So put a pin on that. I might just come back to this because I think it's a major one for, you know, retaining our best customers. Okay, so I think we're number five now. Another thing I want you to start doing now. Again, this one is a long-term play. And it's important for me to throw in some of these long-term strategies because these are the ones that really we can institutionalize in our businesses, that become part of our culture, part of our system, part of our DNA. It's not enough just to do product bundling and as a one-off strategy to earn money, but we haven't created a business that is a magnet, you know, for prosperity, right? That's what we're trying to do. So this one is a long-term play. I want you to start raising the profile of your business. So hear me out. Way too many brands are struggling to attract high-profile customers and earn more for their product or services. And these are brands that are delivering good work, right? So this is 2023. It's not enough. It's not enough to just do good product anymore, right? It's not enough to just have a good product. You need to be able to price this product at a premium. You need to be able to attract good quality clientele, high profile customers to patronize you. To do this, we have to prioritize raising the profile of our brands, right? It is not enough to just slap a high price on your product. So I find people who say, while comparing their businesses, comparing their products with maybe a competing brand or with a higher profile brand, to say, you know what is she doing that I'm not doing, right? She's selling her product or her service for three times what I'm selling, and I am still struggling to convince my customers that my products are worth the price tag. Why is it that the same customers who struggle to pay a premium for my pieces will pay even much more for these other customers' products? This is the reason. It is the profile of their business, the profile of their brand. You know, so you have to become a brand people want to associate with, right? It's not just enough to increase the price. You have to increase the perception of value of your products and your brand as well. First of all, you know, I mentioned this before, but I don't want to take it for granted that everybody knows this. Start by improving the quality of your product, because there is nothing more damaging to a brand than increasing your price without increasing your quality. For people to pay a premium for crap, like, that is a slap and an insult, right? So let's start there. Wherever your product is right now, even if you think it's all that, go a step further, right, to increase the quality. So for instance, if you're into clothing, up the quality of the fabric you're using, up the quality of the hardware, of the zippers, of the buttons, up the quality of the packaging. Start there. I don't care if you already feel like this is, you know, the Mercedes-Benz of your product line. Take it up to Lamborghini. You know what I mean? Take it up to Lamborghini before you even start to say you want to raise the profile, because we don't want anybody paying a premium and in any way feeling cheated. So do that first, okay? Then I want you to increase the quality of your marketing content. So don't just take a picture of your dress on a wall. Take a picture of your dress on a pretty model. You know, now you can even use AI to increase kind of like the quality of the images, right? So go a step further, because people shop first with their eyes and then their minds before they bring out their wallets. People want to see this product and be like, wow, this looks good. This looks expensive. You know, one thing I hear a lot, people will buy my products. And honestly, this is not me even trying to toot my own horn, but these are facts. This is something we get on the regular. People buy our products and come back to say, the pictures didn't do it justice. It looks so much better worn. It looks so much better on an actual person than even a model. And it definitely looks much better in real life than it does in pictures. Honestly, I can't even begin to count how often we get this. And guess what? Our images are strong. We invest in good images. The images get them to buy. The images get them to convert. But when they now even get the product, there's no buyer's remorse. They are happy with the quality. And guess what? The next sale is now easy. They are converts, right? So yes, we are working on increasing our brand profile, but these are some of the tips that you can do to do that. Like I mentioned, increase the quality of your product, improve the quality of your product, include the quality of your marketing content, improve the quality of your brand experience, all the touch points, make it pleasant. You know, I bought a wig recently. Yes, I fell for the whole Black Friday thing. I've been shopping for a wig for a while. And so I finally decided, you know what, there's Black Friday going on. Let me shop around for a wig. You know how it is. Once you search for something, the Instagram algorithms will keep bringing all these sponsored ads or vendor profiles to your feed, you know, making suggestions. So I was inundated with different brands that were promoting their wigs, especially during Black Friday. So there were a lot of discounted products as well. And, you know, for some people, I will send a DM. The quality of their response cheapened their products for me, for some people. You know what I mean? Like, you send somebody a message and the way they respond, immediately I'm like, no. Immediately, no. Like, this cannot be a good quality product. Only because the perception I have gotten from the response I got just totally put me off. Finally, I met this brand. Oh my goodness, I fell in love. Her product was even, you know, it was, in fact, I need to share this. It was the craziest thing. So I initially went for a lower end product that she was selling because I'm like, okay, this is my very first time buying from this brand, right? I don't want to buy one of her higher end products. So let me buy one of the cheapest pieces she has. And in my mind, if that worked, then I become a return customer. Makes sense. You know, but from the way she engaged me, her professionalism, the politeness, the detail, the entire experience just from the DMs. You know what I did? I said, you know what? I want something a little bit more expensive, right? And I did. I went ahead and I paid for something a bit more expensive. Guys, this is the very first time I am buying a product, particularly of this price point, online. I never do it. I will find your shop. I never do it. I always think it's a bit of a risk. And of course, I've heard all the horror stories. This one, she inspired so much confidence. And I paid a bit of a premium for it. Guess what? She even said to me, it won't be ready for the next 10 working days. And I was like, that's all right. Some of these other brands were going to deliver to me immediately. I didn't buy from them. So this is what I'm talking about. She had given me the brand experience that immediately gave the perception of higher value for her brand. She's upped the profile of her brand. And I'm sure putting that process in place to give a customer a good experience in the DMs wouldn't have cost her so much. But at least it was knowing to do that, right? That put her, you know, several steps ahead of the rest. So I hope that story has encouraged you. Please do that. When is the best time to start upping your profile, increase the profile of your brand?
The best time was last year. The best time was yesterday. But start today. Today comes a close second. So start today. Know this as well, that this is not something that is going to happen in a hurry. This is something you are going to commit time and consistency to. This is something that could take years in the making. But start now. Start now. All right? That's it. This podcast took a little bit longer. I think it was the whole storytelling that pushed it up. You know, I'm trying to keep my episodes to 20 minutes. We've almost hit 30 minutes. But I think this is an episode that will help. And I hope it will help. And if it does help, please share and let me know if there are any other suggestions you have that we can share with the community. And if there's anything on here that you have tried, maybe now or in the past, and how it has helped, or maybe if it didn't work, you know, send me a message and maybe I can do like a one-on-one, just send you some pointers on some things you can tweak to make it a little bit more relevant to your business. You know, I'm happy to do that, right? So send me a message by email, send an email to tomi@tomirotimi.com, or send a message here on the podcast, and I promise I will respond. I'm here to help. That's it. We're done. Another episode done. I feel like, you know, I'm back officially now that I've done two episodes, right? I'll be back again next week with another episode, I promise. But please listen to this episode over and over again. Share with your network. Let the people know Fat Talks by Tomi is back. And let them also share with the network. Let's get this word out, right? This podcast is free. I only do it because I want people to hear this message. And that's all I want you to do for me. I just want you to spread the word about the podcast and let people hear it. And maybe we can save one or two businesses from shutting down. If I can save one business from shutting down, you know, I've done plenty. That's it from me for today. Thank you so very much for listening. Speak to you soon. Bye. Thank you for listening to my podcast. This was an amazing episode. Please subscribe to the podcast anywhere you get your podcast. Also, buy the book. Bad Transfer from Waistline to Bottom Line is available on Amazon and also on www.tomirotimi.com. I would love to hear from you. Let me know what resonated with you in the episode or in the book by tagging me on Instagram @tomirotimi or tag the book page Fat Transfer by Tomi. Looking forward to the next episode. Tune in, please. Thank you and bye.